Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Back Porch Theology. This is your host, Caleb Moore. Thanks for hanging out with me. Go ahead and crack open that screen door. Mosey on in here. Kick your boots up for a little bit. Loosen up that belt as we take the humanist of the day to the woodshed. Black Lives Matter. And you liberal crybabies, we got you in our sights. And you belong under the feet of Christ. All right, so here we are in the midst of the Marxist trying to burn down the country. And why? Because we live in a Christian nation. I just want to throw a question out there that touches on a episode that we did last week, I believe. Have you been defying tyranny? Have you been taking off that face mask? Have you been bold as a lion? I know it's crazy. You know you're living in crazy town when all it takes to stand out from the sheep and the lemmings is to remove that gas mask from off your face. You know you're living in crazy times. So, good old Thomas Jefferson once said that when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes necessary. And I'll come back to this Samuel Adams quote time and time again. I just can't get enough of it. Quote, to defy tyrants is to obey God. Those were the kind of men that built our Christian country. Christian America, Christian forefathers. That's right. And we need to look for the chance every opportunity that we get to declare that unambiguously, that our founders were Christian men, almost down to the last one. Now, I'm almost, put that little caveat in there, almost down to the last one. And if they weren't Christian, well, they had more of a Christian worldview than a lot of Tim Kellers and the Matt Chandlers and the big softies out there do in our own day. Guys who are unwilling to go to task and go to battle with the enemies of our time. So I want to talk about words on this episode of Back Porch Theology, and chiefly names. Names. Again, like always, striving to apply a biblical worldview to every area of life. What does the Bible say about names? Well, in the very beginning, in Genesis, God gives Adam, as his deputy, the authority and the task to name all the creatures. So, to have a theology of names means that, number one, we understand that to name something means you have authority over it, right? So, how are names allocated in our time? Parents name their children. And they have, going back to Adam and Eve. And they do so because they have authority over the children. And also, it's a recognition of the created order. It's a recognition of what God has made. So tonight at men's, we talked about it at our men's meeting at our church. And just a quick little shameless plug, if you live in Central Florida and are looking for a solid Reformed church with some backbone, Ascension Presbyterian Church in Longwood, Florida is the place for you. So anyway, we talked about names and the task that God gave Adam in naming the animals. That was what we would call a dominion task. A dominion task, bringing order where there was once chaos. That's one of the things that is at the heart of the Christian worldview and our understanding of what God has commanded us to do, is to be agents of order in the world. So that means we reject anarchists like the Black Lives Matter movement and the transgenders and the homosexuals. All of that is in the feminists, all in soft men. All of these things that we are dealing with front and center in the American streets right now, that is high rebellion against God's order. So getting back to bringing order to chaos with naming things. When Adam named a lion, for example, even though it wasn't the English word lion, it was something else, but he was recognizing God's created order. He was recognizing something about that lion, if it was its courage or its strength, and he named it accordingly. So also, guess who else Adam named? His wife. Ouch. All the feminists out there said, ouch. Yeah, yeah. Adam named his wife. His wife did not get to name Adam. God named Adam, and Adam named his wife. And we would learn later on in 1 Corinthians that the woman is the glory of the man. The glory of the man. And that's not a small thing, ladies. That's an awesome thing. That's a glorious thing, is what the Bible says. While man is the glory of God. So, Adam named his wife Eve because he had authority over her. And he also recognized the created order, the way that God had created Eve, because he said, I shall name her Eve because she is the mother of all living. So those are two distinct biblical principles when it comes to the subject of naming things. Right? So we have a recognition of what God has created and authority over something. Right? So why am I talking about names? Well, it's because all the libtards out there are throwing hissy fits over every single thing that is named after anything that's not white. Now, who's the racist? Let me just ask you that. Who is the racist? Is the racist the person that names a football team the Washington Redskins? Is that a racist thing? Or is it a racist thing to say you cannot name them after Indians? You cannot name a football team, a multi-million dollar business. You cannot name it after Indians. Who is the racist? Now think about it. So this goes to ice cream, right? That's been the latest one in the news recently is this company has been preemptively trying to avoid any kind of backlash from the sissy crybabies out there because they named their ice cream that's been around for like 50 years or longer Eskimo Pies. Eskimo Pies. Now, you can't name your ice cream Eskimo Pies because you're appropriating the Eskimo people. Now, when you name something after a class of people, that's not a dishonor. That's an honor. This ice cream has made that company millions and millions and millions of dollars over the years. It has been an incredibly successful product. If they wanted to dishonor the Eskimo people, they would say, we need to change the name. And that's what's going on. That's what, in an effort, a supposed effort, let me emphasize that, in a supposed effort, in a fake effort to honor Eskimo people, they are stripping this successful product of an Eskimo name. The world is upside down right now. And Christians are the only ones that have a firm footing to stand on. And so us Christians have to take these crybabies to the woodshed and tell them that they're caving in on themselves. They're contradicting themselves with everything that they say. So much so that the Washington Redskins are now called the Washington Football Team. And how does that honor Indian people? It doesn't. It doesn't. Another great example, probably my favorite one, is Aunt Jemima. That's right. The beloved syrup that's been around for Lord knows how long. All the crybabies out there are insisting that this incredibly successful syrup company change the name of the syrup that honors a black woman. And how is that supposed to honor her? By stripping her picture and her name from this incredibly successful product? It doesn't. It dishonors her. It dishonors her. Same thing with Uncle Ben's Rice. That's another one that's in the news right now. We want you to honor the black folk, so you can't name your incredibly lucrative rice product after the black folk. That's crazy. Now let me ask you, once again, who is the racist? It's the people that that refuse to let successful companies name their products after black people and after Eskimos and after Indians. And what we need to see in all this is that this is consistent with their worldview, their evolutionary, chaotic, anarchist worldview. If I believe that we were created by random chance, by evolution, then I worship at the altar of chaos, and my political theory is going to be social Marxism and anarchism. I will end up rejecting outright the fifth commandment, that there's actually superiors, equals, and inferiors in society that God in his providence has ordained. Which brings us to the big ticket item, Black Lives Matter. So, in case anybody out there doesn't know this by now, Black Lives Matter is an incredibly racist organization. It's just a rehashing of the Black Panthers from the 60s and 70s, which fundamentally was a Marxist movement in America. And here it is again. The anarchists are trying to use the sympathy card to advance Marxism. And their tactic is to name their movement something that is virtuous, like Black Lives Mattering. Of course, Black Lives Matter. Everyone, except for the incredibly small number of people that are actually out there that are racist people, which I don't know any, and I doubt you know any, everyone believes that Black Lives Matter. And so if you name your Marxist organization something that opponents, if they disagree with the statement Black Lives Matter, which is a statement that's been copyrighted by them, if you they disagree with that statement, then all of a sudden they're racists. It is well documented. You can look it up that the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement are two lesbians. Now, they're being consistent with their chaotic, anarchist worldview. They're casting off God's hierarchy, God's structure of authority, God's way of doing things, and they are bowing down at the altar of chaos. They're serving the false gods of chaos. They have come out and said that they are trained Marxists. Now, when they first started to become so dominant on their website, they said point blank, we are about disrupting the nuclear family. We are about abolishing the patriarchy. And we are all about advancing transgenderism, and especially black transgenders. That was their mission statement. Now, what's virtuous about that? Not a darn thing. Not one darn thing. And you know that all the little white soy boys that are out there marching in the streets, proclaiming Black Lives Matter with their fists in the air, throwing bricks through windows, you know that they don't believe Black Lives Matter. And how do you know that? Because if they did, they would be protesting outside of abortion clinics. Why? Because black babies are murdered by the truckload full every single day in this country. Just the other day, I saw that it was 9 unarmed black people that were killed by police officers in the past year. Now, that's a bad thing, and I'm not making that a small thing, but there are 9 black babies that are murdered every hour in this country. That many black people are killed by other black people in Chicago every single Saturday of the year. So don't tell me that you believe that Black Lives Matter when you don't. I think the best rebuttal to this whole movement is something I heard from a fellow named N.D. Wilson. He said, yeah, I'll go with you that Black Lives Matter, but only if you agree with me that all Black Lives Matter, including all of the black babies that are murdered in abortion mills, all of the black gang members that are fatherless boys that grow up in fatherless homes because of your big government welfare incentives, that have systematically destroyed the black family. And praise God that the free market has started to push back. This is incredibly exciting news, and this is something that we should all be talking with our friends, our coworkers, our family members about, that Adam Silver, one of the top dogs in the NBA, just came out last week and said, okay, this whole Black Lives Matter stuff all over the courts and all over the jerseys and, you know, LeBron James and all of his preaching at everybody all the time, we're not going to do that next year. And why do you think that is? Because God in his providence in the free market economy has spoken. That's right. The NBA Finals, if you didn't know, the NBA Finals just concluded a few days ago, and no one was watching. Why? Because they're tired of all the bullcrap, all of the social justice, racial injustice, Black Lives Matter nonsense. That's exactly why. The free market speaks, and that's why it's important as Christians that every single dollar that we spend is done so from a biblical worldview, that we're putting every single one of our dollars under the feet of Christ. Because what we fund, we advance. The causes that we fund, we advance. So what are you funding? What are you advancing? Our operating principle is that Christ is King. And because Christ is King, every single one of our dollars needs to resound to the glory of His name and the advancement of His kingdom in the earth. Well, I hope you had a good time on the back porch. You have been on my back porch. This has been another episode of Back Porch Theology. Send me an email. What do you think about all this Black Lives Matter nonsense? And renaming ice cream bars because you want to dishonor Eskimos. Send me an email, backporchtheology@yahoo.com. Be sure to share the podcast, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. It helps others find us, and that way my back porch can always be nice and full, because the more the merrier. And until next time, keep your hand to the plow, remain steadfast, and always abound in the work of the Lord. We'll catch you next time. Oh, and just a little bonus here. It was Columbus Day on Monday. And no, it's not Indigenous People Day. It's Columbus Day, because he was a great Christian hero. And so we want to celebrate him. And so what I'm doing, and I challenge and commend you men out there to do this with your families, is I'm going to read a chapter in Gary DeMar's American Christian History to my family that's all about Columbus, all about his big-time Christian faith and his post-millennial vision in exploration back in 1492. So I commend that to you. I'm going to include on today's show a link to the book in the show notes. Be sure to get it. It is one you want to read and reread to your kids, especially because of the times in which we live. Remember, our nation is a Christian nation, and we need to advance Christendom. Yee-yee!